Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs. They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 4:04 here on The Fan with Ropp and Souk. What's going on? We've got Maury Brown, Biz of Baseball, lined up for us next segment. He's going to come on and talk about, is there a latest on MLB to Portland?
Well, there was a brief piece of news today that he wrote about in Forbes. We'll touch on that. And then if you haven't been paying attention, Major League Baseball appears to be in a bit of a pickle.
Yes. They can't agree on the monies.
No.
The U.S. dollars. So, Maury, we'll talk about all of that in our next segment. We also have quarterback transfer news. JT Daniels lands at Georgia. But I saw where Tom's Braids, your boy, took to Instagram.
To talk about the match?
Yeah.
Well, Phil's been talking about it. Phil wants to make it an annual thing.
I think he should.
Yeah.
I'd be all for that.
And Phil said, of course, the name that he wants is the one that everyone wants, Michael.
Yeah, and Curry. He said Steph Curry, too.
Yeah,
I think fantastic. He wants a better golfer with him. I think he was doing everything he could to try to be nice to Tom Brady. Although Brady hit a big shot coming down the stretch.
Yeah.
For him, but
he dunked an eagle.
Pretty much Brady let him down.
Pretty much. Well, and they said Brady was an eight. There's no way Tom Brady was an eight.
No. You don't think so?
No.
No. I don't know. I've played with a lot of these ex-athlete type guys, like really high level, you know, as you have the football or baseball guys. And they all look really, they just look terrible. Like their swings look terrible, but they just, they get it around and they score.
Find a way. Well, Cam's a really good golfer. Cam's like a two or a three, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Cam's got like a real legit swing.
Oh, he bombs the hell out of it. Yeah.
Swing is.
I was watching that and I was questioning the eight.
Yeah. I think he's maybe an eight, but who knows? Maybe he's got a big ego and he's a reverse sandbagger.
Just saying. It was interesting.
But I think they should do that. Annually, it would be cool. Anyway, he said, I learned a few lessons from the past weekend's golf tournament. This was the match where he teamed with Phil Mickelson against Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning. And he said, I had a lot of fun, grateful to be a part of an event that raised a lot of money for COVID relief, which is, again, to me, very generic. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Who's in charge of it? Where does it go?
$20 million was raised for something. Yeah, don't ask
COVID,
questions.
COVID?
Well, Phil's got some bets to make once everything comes back. So maybe Phil siphoned some off the top. Who knows?
He says, amazing what happens when groups of people come together for the common good. That's number one. Number two, Peyton is still as clutch as ever. And boy, is that not true.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning, is that true? Sorry. Peyton Manning, if you didn't watch it, hit a huge shot on the 18th hole to pretty much seal it.
But wouldn't you make the argument that Brady is more clutch than Peyton?
Yeah, but he has to say that. He's trying to be nice. You know.
Sure.
Trying to give Peyton. It's kind of almost like a pat on the head. Like, yeah. Oh, you're clutch too, Peyton.
Well, he tweeted at Peyton Manning, like their record, during the regular season, the postseason. Then he was like, golf him 0-1.
I love that.
Brady has the
scoreboard.
He's got the upper hand.
I did not escape the inclement weather, heavy stuff all day. Four, I shouldn't wear the same pants to golf that I wear to church.
Oh.
How about that?
He's trying to throw that out there?
He did. He's not trying to. He did.
Well,
so he went to church that morning. You buy that?
Interesting. But Now, to be fair, I've worn golf pants to church.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see a problem with it.
Golf pants are some of the most comfortable thing you'll ever put on.
Golf pants are versatile now.
Yes.
They're no longer just golf pants. Yeah. You can wear them doing anything.
I got a pair of Adidas golf pants that are like the most comfortable pair of pants that I own.
So if you didn't see it, Brady split his pants.
Yeah, he bent over after the eagle, after he holed one out for eagle. Yeah,
for birdie.
Yeah, I thought it was eagle.
It was for birdie.
Anyway, he bent over to get the ball out of the cup and right up Main Street.
Five.
Well, Tom, he works out. He's got those taut buns backside. His pants couldn't contain him.
As great as Phil Mickelson is as a golfer, he's a better man, coach, and teammate, and potentially has the best calves on the PGA Tour. Six, I really enjoy golf. At halftime of football games, we get checked for concussions. In golf, you get refreshments.
they check halftime for concussions now? Is that a thing?
According to Tom Brady, it is. Ooh. I wouldn't question Tom.
No.
Would you?
No, probably not. Unless it came to like mouth kissing my kids. Then maybe, just maybe, I'd be like, hey, Tom, let's sit a couple plays out.
You think he could sell that to us? If we had him in here right now, it's like, hey, Tom, could you sell us on open mouth kissing your son?
You know, the one thing, I would be more open to that than I would be the TB12 program. I know that works for him.
What is that? Is it just all like supplements and nutrition?
Supplements,
crap?
Nutrition, and then
who needs
his,
that?
And then his way of working out. It's like no weights and it's all flexibility in the bands. I would rather him try to sell me on the idea of kissing my son on the mouth than I would be following that whole TB12 program, which just sounds miserable.
He says it was nice to be the young guy again. Was he the youngest dude out there? At 40? Yeah, he would have been.
Yeah, he probably would have been.
42?
Yeah.
Jeez. Tiger Woods was a great host and champion, and I was especially thankful he missed that putt on the seventh hole. Had he made it, I would have just went home. Yeah, they were getting their ass kicked.
Yeah, they were down by 3, I think, at the time.
And then he says, I'm sticking to my day job.
That's probably a good idea.
I think Brady's kind of... Are you watching that? Like, Peyton Manning's got a good personality, and Tiger's just Tiger. He's trying to intimidate everyone. And Phil's just trying to... Yeah, Phil's just kind of Phil. Did you get the sense Brady's kind of a dork?
Oh, I think Brady plays... I think behind closed doors, I think he's a different person. I think there's a better personality there than you see in front. I think he's very polished. I listened to him on Howard Stern. He gave a big interview. And now that he's left New England too, he can talk again. I really think that the New England, the code of silence and all that, I think he played that as well as anyone. But you can actually, at least if you go back and listen to that interview, to me, he sounded like a completely different person. And so, yeah, I think he's got a personality. It's just he buttons it up.
He says, what about a text, fan text line? 503-250-1080. Why did I say that? That doesn't mean I want you to call.
No.
That text means I want you to text 503-250-1080.
Or you can call. Mike would love to talk
rocking to you. Rocking you on a Friday. Why did I say
Mike's
that?
Mike's ready to answer your call right now. Look at
503-250-1080. Call now.
Call Mike. He'll talk
to
you.
Ask Mike sports questions.
Yeah. Talk to him about the Yankees.
This guy says, what about playing ethical football? You might be able to sell him on that. Ooh, burn.
You really, yeah, Tom and his 6 Super Bowls. I love how people act as if somehow like that bothers Tom Brady at night.
Cheetah.
Yeah, his 6 rings and Giselle and his $200 million. He's doing just fine.
Cheetah. All right.
And people saying the same thing like with Tiger Woods. He's got a personality. You hear from people that work with him at Nike that he is a much, much different person away.
Still a bit of a goob.
Well, he's a bit of a goob and he is a... And this maybe goes with Brady too. He's like so single-minded that it probably turns some people off. Like you heard the stories like Tiger eats his meal like as fast as humanly possible. Like he just isn't. I think when you're good like that and you're especially Tiger and you're like a child prodigy, you're probably socially awkward because you didn't have a normal childhood. Whereas I don't think Brady's like that. I think if you got those two away from their sport, I think Brady is much more relatable and a normal guy than Tiger.
All right, let's get Maury Brown in here. Biz of baseball. What's the latest on MLB to Portland? And will we have a Major League Baseball season? All next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, in the news coming up next, we'll tell you where the... big COVID outbreak was. Local business, a couple different locations being investigated. But right now, let's talk a little baseball, even some Major League Baseball to Portland. Mari Brown from Forbes, Biz of Baseball, Baseball America, Fangraphs. Where don't you write?
The Athletic hasn't picked me up yet, so I'm safe there.
You'll end up there eventually. Everyone does.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how things are right now. But, hey, I hope you guys are safe out there right now.
Yeah, we're safe. I mean, I guess. I don't know. You never know. I think Suk has the COVID, and he just passed it on to me and now the whole fan staff. Anyway, on Twitter, Mari Brown is at, oh, dang it, I lost it, at Biz of Baseball? At Bizball Mari.
There we go.
Bizball Mari, M-A-U-R-Y. Are we going to have a baseball season?
You know, as crazy as things are right now, I'm still giving it about a 75-80% chance of happening. I mean, I just think there's too much to lose right now. I really do. And we're talking about a lot of money on both sides of this thing. It's just how they're going to have to figure it out, and it's just really acrimonious.
Yeah, you look at it. I mean, I've heard everything from others. Even if it started up and you played the 82-game schedule, you're talking about losses of what? Somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 billion?
Yeah, it's looking closer to four, but that's kind of misleading, guys, because that's what they call baseball-related revenue. Owners make a lot of money elsewhere. I mean, if you own a regional sports network, right, you're paying money back to yourself for those rights fees. And there's other stuff. I mean, baseball, all 30 owners own a 15% stake in Disney Plus and ESPN Plus. I mean, so there's other money flowing in, but look, let's not kid ourselves. They're going to lose some revenues this time around. The players are saying, of course, you know what? When times were really good, you didn't want us to share. Now you want us to go ahead and help you guys. So it's all capitalism when things are great, and it's all socialism when there's headwinds.
How dug in are the players on this? Because you listen to like what Scherzer said and some of the other comments. It sure seems like they're not, at least from a public standpoint, not willing to negotiate a further pay cut.
Yeah, they sound pretty galvanized right now, and that's surprising because the way that the league presented it was they were like, well, if you make under $1 million, and that's 65% of the players. I mean, people don't, I don't think, understand that there are a lot of players that aren't making these mega contracts. They would get like 90% of their pay. It would be the guys at the top end, your Mike Trouts and your Bryce Harpers and your Cole Hamels, or I'm sorry, Cole from the Yankees, that would get burned. But look, you know, I think that overall they are pretty galvanized. They're not wanting to walk away with this and bend on it. They're going to do their own counter proposal on Friday. They're not even going to address the one that the league offered. So that's kind of where we're at.
Don't the owners usually win in these types of negotiations?
Well, they do because they have time on their hand normally, right? I mean, if you have a strike or a lockout, it's a lot easier to get 30 guys to basically stand up and go, you know, we can go ahead and hold the center with 30 people. You got, you know, 1,000 players or more when you're talking about the players. So, yeah, I mean, normally they do, but this is a little bit different because they're really rolling up on a hard deadline about whether they're going to get a season in at all. If you're already in a lockout or a strike, it's largely a, you know, a long walk. And it's a battle of attrition.
Yeah, it kind of feels like the players in this particular scenario, like you said, this is a different case. It kind of feels like the players have more leverage because the owners need to get something in, right? They need to recoup some revenue, and the players do need money. But at the same time, I feel like the owners need it worse this time. Whereas before, like you said, they could just wait out the players, and you know, because they were the ones that needed the money more.
Yeah, and it's kind of like that, guys. I mean, I would say, look, everybody's going to lose money. Nobody likes, you know, everybody has house payments. You know, people forget that the league advanced them $170 million for April and May pay. June hits, if there's no season, well, there's no more pay. They'll get their service time for the year, but they will not get any pay. So, look, there's just a lot of incentive. I mean, people have home payments just like you or I. Their homes may be bigger, but look, everybody has mortgage payments. And so, you know, I just think there's a lot of incentive to make it happen. But to the larger point, everything is really being controlled by the players right now. And I think that they have a pretty solid case to make in this situation. It's just their career lives are shorter. You know, you'd never know what's going to happen. And once again, there's nothing to say, and I can guarantee you guys, that 2021, 22, 23, 24, 25, you're going to see player salaries drop dramatically. as the owners go ahead and shift to try and absorb some of this stuff and try and recoup their losses.
Yeah, do you buy some of the figures that are thrown out there? I mean, there was the report a week or two ago that was saying that without fans, owners are going to lose $400,000 plus per game, and they're painting the dire picture of, you know, of this. Do you buy that owners are in this sort of trouble?
You know, I don't, guys. I mean, it's a $10.7 billion industry, right? I guess I look at it this way. You know, the airline industry made billions and billions of dollars in profits. And then, oh my gosh, something happens and suddenly we need a bailout. And I look, are they going to lose revenues? It's a cash flow problem. It's a liquidity problem for them. It's not that they don't have a lot of money. It's just that they're going to take it in the shorts on this. There's no denying it. It's how bad it is and how they get that money back. Well, guys, look, you know, at the end of the 2021 season, they get a 38% increase on their Fox deal that they have, their national TV deal there comes along, and then ESPN and Turner are right behind them. They're in the middle of those negotiations. They're going to whack the crap out of the minor leagues right now. Players are being laid off and furloughed right now. Plus, they're going to contract 40 clubs. I mean, I get that they're going to lose some money right now, but they're absolutely going to start to be able to recoup some of that right away.
Okay, this is Mari Brown from Forbes. What happens to our local minor league teams?
So the Hops are going to be fine. They'll go to full season single A. The Kaiser Volcanoes, I think, are going to be closed down, guys. I really do. They're going to realign and basically make the short season single A full season, and they're going to do regional alignment, which will lower some of the travel. So, you know, it is unfortunate for the Volcanoes. But remember, guys, I mean, there's the potential that the way that this works out is that there is still baseball being played there. They just will not be affiliated with minor league baseball. The league has made it clear that they want to try and keep some semblance of baseball in the communities that have them. They just won't be associated with minor league baseball. They'll be kind of like a dream league, if you want to call it. I mean, it'll be players that have a possibility. But, guys, I mean, the draft is 2,000 players each year. I mean, you just – the odds that many of those players will ever see a major league roster are zero. And so they looked at that and said, hey, you know, it's just not efficient. We can make a case that it's largely about increasing their profits. But there's going to be a significant shift around the minor leagues, guys. They're trying to basically pull minor league baseball under Major League Baseball's umbrella. Instead of an affiliation, they're going to move their offices inside the commissioner's office. And it'll be like the American League and National League are now. I mean, they used to be separate offices. Now they're all underneath, of course, the commissioner's office. So I think that you're going to see a big shift in how the minor leagues look. Maybe for better, certainly going to be worse for some communities.
Well, you look at it too. I mean, we're all talking about, you know, the financial trouble that Major League Baseball has, and, you know, they've got TV money and they'll find a way. But what about, you know, just the ones that aren't being contracted and done away with? What happens to just these minor league teams if baseball can't be played or there's no fans? Because I'm assuming that's the only way they make money.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about this a few months ago, guys, when this thing first hit, that we would see teams collapse just under the financial weight. It's completely different. They are almost 100% driven by the fan experience. So, yeah, I mean, I am not privy to some of the financial information, but I can't imagine that these clubs aren't under dire straits. Now, look, the Hops are fine. Thank goodness they've taken care of their employees and, you know, they have a really good deal. Now, remember, they're also associated to the largest market in the country without Major League Baseball. So that's an advantage to them. But some of these smaller places, you know, they're absolutely taking it in the shorts, and it's just really unfortunate.
What is this doing to help or hinder MLB to Portland?
So it's interesting. I just wrote about it. You know, their exclusive agreement for the Terminal 2 site expired quietly just on Wednesday. Nobody said anything about it. So I reached out to Craig Cheek from the Portland Diamond Project yesterday, and he said that they're still very much involved. Obviously, the COVID situation has put everybody in telework and their higher priorities. In the near term, guys, it doesn't, you know, help them at all. It puts them as a kind of extreme back burner, right? I mean, they got to get the situation sorted out with the major league players and the minor leagues. But in the next year or so, look, if you wanted to recoup losses quickly, expansion is a great way to do it, because you're going to do $1 billion in expansion fees, and you're doing that for two teams. So you get a $2 billion infusion to the owners right away to help offset this, and I don't know how that isn't in the back of not only Rob Manfred's mind, but the owner's.
And then you look at what's happening with the A's. Is this just posturing? You hear that they didn't make their payment to the stadium. They're not paying their minor league players. Are the A's really in this sort of bad financial situation, worse than everyone else, or are they just being cheap?
They're being cheap. I mean, the Marlins were the only club that ran in the red last year. They're doing it. I don't understand this, guys. I really don't. I get that John Fisher owns the Gap, and they're losing money left, right, and sideways, but you don't treat your other business holdings like your Major League Baseball holding. It's just a bad look. When there are clubs in Milwaukee and other small markets that are able to do this thing, it just looks really bad. So, you know, I don't know what the thing is here. You know, they're really the kind of the black sheep right now in Major League Baseball because of these actions. And it just doesn't look well on John Fisher, their owner.
What are the odds the A's and or Rays move, whether it be Portland or anywhere else?
You know, I don't know, guys. I mean, this has got to throw everybody's plans up in the air. I'll go back to the Portland situation because I talked to Craig Cheek yesterday. I asked him if their capital stack, which is, of course, their investors, had been hit by this. Now, everybody is being hit, so there's no way that there isn't somebody in their group that hasn't been affected. But he said that the group is pretty solid, and that leads me to believe that if they're making cash calls to ownership of the A's or to the Rays, they're going to somehow weather this thing. The situations in Montreal or the situation here is really going to drive whether you make that sort of thing happen. I'm still of the belief that the Rays are moving to Montreal. Mm-hmm. I believe the A's are going to stay put. It's just got to – everything is slowed down, guys. I mean, everything is. You guys, me, everybody is being hit by this thing. So I think that the A's get it sorted out, and I think that it would be better for Portland for expansion. I really do. Rather than having the A's right now. I just think it just throws the league's overall plans up in the air.
That's interesting that you said that, because we were talking about that openly yesterday. Is we don't really know where all the Portland money's coming from, and there's plenty of rich guys that are 30-40% less than what they were a couple months ago. And I wonder that even with the ballpark side, you know, expiring, you know, some of that money, that $2.5 billion you're dumping in for an expansion fee to build the stadium and all that, some of that has to be recouped, obviously, by the development around the stadium. And if you had to move it outside of Portland, I'm assuming that land becomes less valuable than if you're building it in the city. And just that whole economic structure of a $2 billion investment and how that can't help but look differently now than what it did a couple months ago.
Yeah, it does. Cheek thought that this was actually a good thing for the city, right? I mean, so here our unemployment numbers are, everybody's getting walloped. And that you would have this development that would be there that would be mixed use. Now, remember, guys, of course, we're nowhere near on the cusp of this thing. So you're trying to think, when you do these kind of things, you're trying to think out, you know, 5 or 10 years on how Portland's overall development would be. And that's a huge component to this because of the mixed use. Doesn't work quite the same as if they went to Lloyd Center, which, by the way, is still, you know, they have an eye on it. And look, mall life was already cratering. If the pandemic hasn't absolutely killed the Lloyd Center already, you know, it probably will be right around the corner. But that doesn't have a lot of opportunities for, you know, additional development. So, yeah, I mean, it does affect them. Here's the thing that's surprising, though, guys. So this 1 year, they did 2 6-month agreements on their due diligence windows. They're paying $37,000 plus every month for this. They've burned $450,000 in just this exclusivity agreement with the Port of Portland. And I imagine that it will continue to go out. I mean, it could be, you know, $500,000 here soon. So they're burning money. They do have money, but eventually you got to get to a point to where it's like, what are we doing here, guys?
Right.
You know, we need to start to recoup it somehow.
So is T2 out fully?
No. They said that, you know, Craig said that they were going to go ahead and meet with, you know, make some arrangements. They're trying to make these things happen. You know, once again, there are higher priorities. He wants to be sensitive to the situation that's going on. But look, I mean, business is moving for most everybody in those kind of situations. There's telework. They will either reach a third agreement, or there will be some form of another agreement that will happen that will allow them to do this. They very much want to make the T2 site happen and the development that goes around
okay.
it.
Okay.
I ask you real quick. You mentioned $400,000. I get asked this a couple times. Can you just even ballpark it? What do you think they've spent so far on the effort behind the scenes between architects and firms and studies and environmental things and, you know, then these agreements? What do you think they've spent so far on this?
Well, it's a great question. I don't know what kind of money these guys are pulling in. Whether they've got to be getting paid in some capacity. Now there's just a core group, but look, I imagine if you've dumped $450,000 into that, are you $500,000, $600,000 more? I think that's really possible. Is it a million? I don't know. I really don't know, guys. But look, it's not if you have enough people, it's not chump change in some senses. It's going to be more for some than others that are involved in this. But, I keep hearing, money's not an issue. Money's not an issue. Money's not an issue. I just don't know too many business owners that like to flush money down the toilet. I don't believe for one second this is flushing it down the toilet, but they need to move forward. And that's hinging largely on another piece that we haven't talked about, which is a traffic and transportation study, which looks to be a couple months out.
Oh, for that site, you mean?
Yeah, that site.
Okay, yeah, because I don't know. I think MLB will eventually expand, and I think Portland is putting itself in good position. However, when you're trying to get the city to build all the infrastructure to get people up to T2, that certainly seems like some serious heavy lifting. Do you really think that even though they want T2 because they'll make the most money off of T2, that eventually, if Portland gets a ballpark, it will be at T2?
Yeah, well, for all the, if you think about it from a long-term urban planning perspective, it makes a lot more sense. Look, guys, you guys know, you drive in the Lloyd District, sure, there's one off-ramp off 84 that dumps right there. But if you came off I-5, you're snaking through the Lloyd District on Broadway and all. That's a mess as well.
That's true.
So look, I don't know if there's a perfect location in either one of these. But from, baseball is going to want that T2 site. But there's a bunch of other things. The overall development, and this is another thing, right? The city has to think about this in terms of, you're talking about doing something huge. It's not just the ballpark. It would be something akin to developing South Waterfront. And so when you're getting into something that complex, there's just a bunch of stuff. We just had an election. Granted, the mayor's been reelected, but you have new commissioners. So you don't know the political landscape. They're going to have to feel that out. So there's just a bunch of stuff. And then there's all the zoning that goes through with the state. So it's just it's a really complex thing. I was involved in the first stab at this in 2003, 2004, 2005. And it's always difficult. None of this stuff is easy. So, patience always has to kind of be the overriding thing. And this whole thing with the pandemic has just slowed everything down.
Yeah. Well, they've got a hell of a group, though. How many sites do they have? So you got the T2. They still want to build it there. Lloyd Center. A lot of people are whispering about Lloyd Center. I know the Zedell Yards, which is down here by us in South Waterfront, may be in play. Are there others?
Yeah. So I have heard that there is another one that's south. Now I don't know exactly where. Whether it's somewhere near Sherwood or something to that effect. But I've heard that there is a place outside the city limits that they looked at. Now, how serious they took that, I don't know. But you're going to want to keep it in the urban core, guys. Once again, if you're trying to do a development. Now, with that all said, Atlanta and Cobb County were able to do this, where you basically bring the city to the ballpark. You might potentially be able to do that sort of thing, but I don't think it has nearly the gravitas. It certainly wouldn't have the pull, and it certainly, requires doing all the other political minutiae that goes along with it, that they just have a better situation in terms of making it happen in Portland for a number of reasons, travel, all this other stuff. So I don't think they're going to walk away from these two sites, and certainly T2 is their preferred location. Until they've really run out of options.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like they're there yet.
All right. Read them in Forbes, online. Read them everywhere. Biz of Baseball. It's the great Maury Brown. Local, too. Thanks, Maury.
All right, guys. You take care of yourself. Be safe.
All right. You, too. Good to talk to you. A
lot of info.
Yeah, about that. Look at all that. So much stuff up in the air.
So much sports.
So many things up in the air. Because of the damn COVID.
But again, the biggest
stupid
thing that
COVID.
I took out of that is if baseball needs money. Yeah. Expansion brings in $2 billion.
Well, what if the city needs money, and then you can create jobs by building
and construction
a ballpark?
And
also,
could be good.
The fact that the ownership group has not lost a lot of money due to the pandemic, according to Craig Sheet. Yeah. So
all right. In the news coming up next, here's Mike with SportsCenter.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, remember, new text code beginning Monday. If you want to text our show, it is now 503-250-1080. All right, thanks to Mari Brown. JC Babes right now running a little behind, so let's get to it. It is May 28, 2020. It is time for the news. I am your noted newsman. Now, today is International Hamburger Day.
Yeah.
Which we all love burgers.
But not just like regular Burger Day, it's International Burger Day. So I got to put like a slice of teriyaki on that, or?
International Hamburger Day, but it's also National Brisket Day, which I feel like those two should have their own days.
Well, combine them. You can put brisket on a burger. It's delightful.
Or you take brisket and ground beef and you mix it all up, and now you're talking.
Yep.
If you haven't ever made a burger by combining meats, like if you're making a bacon cheeseburger,
you know,
at
I don't
home,
think I've ever done that.
Really?
I mean, short of the bacon.
Shame on you.
I mean, if you've had burgers out at restaurants, they often will combine the meats for you, but so you probably had it. But doing it yourself, you get to be creative.
Yeah, you get some short rib with some ground chuck. I like taking some bacon, and then I chop it up and then mix that into whatever mixture I've got going on. And if you want a little flair, throw some chorizo,
chorizo
in there. Oh,
it I just, want a burger.
It grills up fantastic.
It is also Menstrual Hygiene Day.
Oh, all
so
right.
So hoping your menstrual hygiene is okay today, James?
I'm dialed in.
Good.
I feel like I am. I'm as fresh as I could be.
The Oregon Health Authority is investigating outbreaks at Townsend Farms operations in Multnomah County and Washington County.
So this was the one yesterday that they were alluding to, but they wouldn't tell us what it was.
Yes. It's Townsend Farms. It's cannery. They can fruits over there.
Again with the fruits.
With the fruits.
The frozen fruit plant is what derailed us in
Clark
County.
Well, it's just the plants, you know.
We got the pork processing plant. Now we got the fruits. And
we got a lot of people in close proximity to one another, and they have to work. Anyway, 48 of the 350 people who came to town to harvest fruit for Townsend Farms in Fairview and Cornelius.
Yeah, they brought it with them.
They had COVID. Yeah, so they're believed to have been exposed to the virus prior to arriving. They got here May 23rd and 24th. The bad news is that it appears many of the positive tests were kept from the state. And the canneries stayed open.
Yeah. Well, this is like you're even getting this like in Congress. They're saying a bunch of the GOP members had it and didn't tell anyone that they were working with.
Right.
Yeah, you can't you can't be doing that. That's right. That's
not supposed to.
That's not good.
Washington County approved for phase one reopening. They will shoot for June 1. What might this mean? Restaurants and bars will be open for sit-down service. Requirements including 6 feet of social distancing, a limit of groups to parties of 10 or fewer. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either, but it makes sense. I mean,
food and drink consumption must end by 10 p.m. Parties of 10 or fewer?
Yeah,
you think that makes sense?
Well, yeah, like large gatherings. You don't want 25 people shoulder to shoulder.
I just didn't know you could have a group of 10 at a restaurant. I thought they were limiting that.
I don't understand the being done by 10. What is that? Is this like is this a gremlin thing where the COVID, it grows more powerful after 10:30?
I think that's that they want you to get the hell out of there because if you stay any longer, you're going to get drunk and then social distancing is going to go right out.
Okay.
Maybe. That's what they're thinking.
We're going to party till 9:59 and then you're done.
Also, workers are required to wear masks. Barbers, salons, and massage businesses, they can open. Requirements include, again, social distancing, by appointment only. They would need PPE, and they are supposed to keep customer lists as well. And then gyms and fitness centers can open. You're in luck.
Yes.
You can go lift massive quantities of weights
except
again.
Except they don't live in Washington County.
Well, yours already should be. Are your gyms open up there?
Negative.
That is great news. I really, really hope my gym opens.
Yeah,
I miss going to the gym.
Mike's over there doing push-ups during the breaks.
Mike's hurting.
And I'm not kidding.
No, literally, I'm using the breaks to do planks and push-ups because I don't know what else.
Are you really?
Yeah well,
he's over there.
I run every day or almost every day, and then I try to do planks and push-ups here in the break.
So I thought Mike was leaving the room. Turns out he's just on the floor.
I play high cardio golf.
Speed golf? No, none of the gyms are open in Clark County. I think that comes in phase two, and we were hoping to get to phase two, but again,
The fruit plant
got us.
Yeah, requirements for gyms and fitness centers include a maximum gathering limit, social distancing, and sanitation practices. Also, in-person gatherings up to 25 people But no travel.
So this is all what? Beaverton, Hillsboro.
Yeah.
Is Tigard included in this? Is that Washington County?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then Multnomah County, they're saying, wants to apply by June 5th.
And I think we're...
And well, start June 12th.
I say we, where I work. We would be the last ones, right? I think every other county.
Yep. Yep. Every county in Oregon has been approved except for Multnomah, which has yet to even apply. But like I said, they'll apply next week.
Working on it.
All right, the Portland Promenade Project. Hey, if you can't dine in, let's take to the streets.
Yes!
This is a great idea, and we will talk about it next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Our reporters on the street are telling us that Clark County gyms are phase 3. They're at 50% capacity right now. Said he just received the update from Crunch 5 minutes ago.
Run that by me again?
Well, according to one of our reporters, Clark County gyms are phase 3.
So they can't open until phase 3?
No, I think they're on to phase 3, maybe? It is worded
a little... He said 50% capacity now?
I think that's what he's saying.
I ride by my gym all the time, and
maybe he's saying
not open.
Once they hit phase 3, that's when Clark County gyms open, and they will be at 50% capacity.
Okay. I think that's the case. I am almost positive. I'll look it up right now, but I'm almost positive that gyms in Clark County are not open.
Okay. How about the Portland Promenade Project? Now, this is the next phase of PBOT's Safe Street Initiative. You know, when they were blocking off streets?
Yeah.
And not letting you drive on them for really no reason.
I am familiar, yes. We really couldn't figure out anything, even though local traffic could get through, but
Know people were out walking and biking and they wanted to protect them.
Yeah.
The idea behind it is neighborhood streets get converted into walkable, bikeable areas where people can shop and eat and socially distance and, you know, wear their masks and yell at one another and finger point and, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So now we're seeing specific neighborhoods and businesses pushing for this where, like, for example, the restaurant-heavy stretch on Southeast Belmont between 33rd and 35th, what they want to do, it's called the Portland Promenade Project, and they're saying, we're just going to set up outside.
Yeah.
So we got a bunch of restaurants and shops and coffee shops and different things. We're just going to put stuff out. We're going to close the street to traffic, let people walk up and down the street, and then be able to consume our products that way.
Yeah, like a European style, right?
I think that's great.
You want the nice weather out there? Absolutely. Because if you can't have the space inside, bring it out. Because that's one of those things that if the tables have to be so far apart, you know, this idea that restaurants can be open now, but if you're open at 25 or 30% capacity, are you really going to make it? It's not like the restaurants are operating on these huge profit margins.
Right, and they're saying, too, that traffic is slower. You know, traffic is down, so might as well. The reduced traffic means there's room for you to throw up a couple tents or whatever and get, you know, set up a couple tables outside. And then it's the summer. The weather's turning and people want to be outside, and it all makes total sense. So by the end of this week, it sounds like they're going to have a better idea of what the application and permit process will look like. But this is a PBOT thing, which is interesting. So we'll see.
And by the way, the gyms are still closed in Clark County.
Aw.
I'll look up and see if they're in.
You all getting fat up there?
What phase? Well, Mike's over there doing push-ups.
Yeah, he's trying not to.
Be more like Mike.
I love that. Have you seen any fat butts lately? Like where you're like, whoa, I haven't seen you in a while and they're super fat now?
I ran into someone today that was lamenting the lack of gym.
Yeah.
Which is
the Quarren 15.
Well, haven't we all gained a little bit?
No.
You haven't?
I'm down.
You're down? Nice.
Down like 7 pounds.
Nice work.
Yeah, didn't you see him walk into the office yesterday? He looked all svelte.
What?
Yeah.
No, I don't usually watch him walk into the office looking all svelte.
Well, I did.
But I see him every day. He's sitting right over there.
There's a difference when he's sitting and standing.
Yeah. But you can't lift as much, so you have to do more cardio-based things.
Yeah.
Get outside.
That's
run,
what
bike.
I say. Golf.
Do the Rops cardio golf.
Hell, just walk.
There you go.
All right. Do I have time for more here, Bill?
I don't know. I got probably not.
Yeah, no, we do. I have one more story for you. And this is the story of the hero that we didn't know we needed. And her name is Lorna. And she's out in Sisters. And her name is Lorna Hewitt. So she got laid off from her restaurant job.
Mm-hmm.
And she took part-time work at a grocery store. and she started making face masks because, you know, the whole face mask thing. Now everybody seems to have them, but before it was like, well, what do I do? Face mask. Order one. What do I do?
Yeah, it was a big deal for a while.
So she made them for her coworkers, and they liked them so much that they started giving her money for them because she was making a bunch of them for everybody.
People were just doing. She wasn't trying to sell them. People were just doing it for goodness of their hearts.
Well, she said she started to sell them because everybody needed them again, like the face mask guy who sets up the weird tent and has the mannequin heads.
That dude's terrifying.
This is a real legit face mask person, Lorna Hewitt. So anyway, she used the money from the people paying her for her face mask to buy a Keno 8-spot ticket. She won $126,000.
Kick ass!
How great is that?
Once again, proving that gambling shows us the way. When in doubt, take your money. Oh, and by the way, the Alinea is opening, so...
Oh.
Yeah, people were...
When?
Today, I think. People were lined up out there. I saw a
lined up.
Yeah, well... The photo I saw, people were...
People need to spend that money.
People are itching to get in. And they're doing things... Once you get inside, it's like every third slot machine is open. They've got some barriers at like some of the gaming tables.
Yeah, what do the gaming tables look like?
I think that I didn't see any photos other than the one I saw on Twitter where people were kind of piled waiting to get inside. Because remember, they're on sovereign Indian land up there. So that's why they can open, even though Clark County is still shut. So I only saw the one photo, but I was reading through the story and they said that, not every slot machine is going to be available. And they just said that at gaming tables, there would be, plastic barriers. So I'm not sure if that means player to player or if it's between dealer. I mean, I think that's becoming standard practice everywhere, but, I think ALNA is officially open for business.
Now, does that bother you if you're a card player? Like, would you want that? Like, or were you just going to steer clear until we can go back to normal?
Oh, you know? I think people are.
No. I'm not saying people. There's going to be people that are going to gamble.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Because, well, you know, obvious reasons. For me, and I like to play some cards from time to time. I don't know about those tapes. You know,
yeah,
well,
we talked about this a while with Vegas. I would go and dip my toe in the water and see what it was like. But part of the reasons that like Vegas or casinos are fun in general is just kind of the vibe and the atmosphere. And so I would need to go and see what it's about before I judge it. And yes, they are open and there are quite a few people waiting to get in. They did like a big they dropped like confetti from the ceiling.
Oh,
and, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Made it an event.
Yes, people were ready to go in.
All right. There's your In the News for May 28th. We will have the news for May 29th on tomorrow's show, which is May 29th, conveniently enough.
Wow.
The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.